the difference between being at school and being at work. When we're at school, we just want to fit in. And when we're at work, we do everything we can to try and stand out. Like, what's our unique selling point? How am I, what's my point of difference? I'm a speaking coach who doesn't teach people how to speak. What I do is help people to reconnect with who they really are. Because what I've found is that the two go hand in hand. The biggest question I get asked is, what does it take to become a really good speaker? And it is, the ABCDs are YouTube's core best practices. And the first one is A for attention. We know this story arc, don't we? Where we like build up to a kind of climax and then we come to some sort of resolution at the end. And that is outdated. Do you know how long it takes for somebody to decide whether they're going to listen to you or not?
Okay, what is your story?
What's my story? Wow, how long have you got?
Well, 90 minutes. If you take up that much time, I'll be impressed.
Well, how I introduce myself is a communications coach. So I work with brands and people, helping them to really own the power of their story and authentically express that through effective communication.
Wow. Okay. Mm. What sort of brands have you worked with?
All sorts of brands, actually. I've worked, obviously Google, because that is another job that I have. However, I've worked with, Interflora being one of them, about to do some work with Deloitte. So lots of different, not like keeping to one category.
The classic crossover of Interflora and Deloitte, of course. One obviously led to the other.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But before we dive into your work, you've got a very interesting name.
Mm.
K Monday.
Do you think it rolls off the tongue?
I mean, obviously it rhymes. So that's about as good as it gets. AJ and K Monday. There you go. We should start a rap group or something.
Meant to happen.
You changed your name.
I did.
Tell me the story of your name change.
I did. It was very confusing for a lot of people. So I had to tell lots of people lots of times. And it's not been the first name change that I've made either, I'm going to be honest. So it's actually my third name, and none of them are actually my real name, which is a fun story in itself. So let me take you back to when I was really little. So since birth, I've been called Katie as a child growing up. So, and my family are still very much stuck in the Katie era. They can't get out of that. They still call me Katie. And then when I went to secondary school, I remember my mum sitting me down saying, like, look, this is your opportunity. If you want to be called something different, you can go to secondary school. You know, start introducing yourself as something else. That's it. I always wanted to be, I guess, I always wanted to be older for some reason. I always wanted to be older, taken a bit more seriously. So that was my opportunity. I went to secondary school, started going around the playground, introducing myself as Kate. So that was my second era, was Kate. And then, honestly, what happened last year, I'd heard of this happening before, by the way, people not resonating with their names. And I thought, that's ridiculous. That doesn't happen to adults, surely. And then there's me, once again, eating my words. And that's exactly what happened to me. So my partner kept on calling me my name, Kate, and I was like, oh, can you stop? He was like, what are you talking about? It's your name. And I was like, you know, it's just making me feel weird. And then that's where I feel like I have done so much growth and transformation, especially over the last couple of years, that just Kate reminds me of, yeah, this era where I was leading very much from a place of ego. And I had basically been mirroring and imitating role models of mine who were males, very, you know, alpha males as well. And I felt like that's the kind of type of communication style that I had taken on, therefore, because that's what I feel like I needed to adopt in order to get ahead in business. And Kate just reminded me of that. And I was like, I don't do that anymore. That's just not me. So that's when K came about. So I was like, okay, K, so it's softer. it's more now what I guess pride myself in is this soft power leadership, this togetherness, like bringing people on your journey, telling stories and leading through stories and communication. And that's, if I look, think about my higher self and what I'm aspiring to be, the best version of me, it's Kay. So that's where Kay came about.
Wow. Mm. What a journey. I love that. I am also changing my name. Yeah. Not the name that everyone knows me by, which is AJ, but my first name is currently Edward, mm-hmm. which I have always disliked. Mm. I very much have never resonated with my first name. And there's always been like slight variations of it. Like my uncle and like friends from a part of childhood call me Iwa.
Iwa.
Which is Edward without the D's.
Oh, okay.
Because there was once a famous cricketer called Edward Woodward. And okay. if you took out the D's, it was Iwa Wiwa. And so that's where Iwa came from. But that's like a very specific group of people. And my mum used to call me Edward Bear after Winnie the Pooh.
Nice.
And I loved Bear. And Bear's such a cool name, like Bear Grylls, amazing. and then we got a dog and she named the dog Bear. And I was gutted. So bitter. And now the dog is about 14 years old and it's about to die. So I'm taking the name back.
You're reclaiming the name.
Taking it back.
I love it.
Yes.
Well, that's... Yeah, so we're both changing names or change names, exactly. changing names. And that is, it's funny because like K, actually I looked it up because my partner was saying to me, like, you can't call yourself K. That's short for Kaylee, not for Kate. And actually my real name, right? So the whole time, my real name that I've actually never been called is Catherine. And actually, I looked up Kay, and Kay is apparently short for Catherine, which I never knew. And they both mean pure, which is ironic and interesting, really, because purity is actually, if I think about that highest goal that I'm striving for, it really is that purity, like pure. How can I show up in the purest way in different settings and really be that like beacon of light and love for people? And so, yeah, I think Kay's quite fitting.
That is beautiful. I love that. Rewinding back to one of the things you said, which is while at school, you sort of wanted to seem older.
Mm.
Interestingly, I feel like Catherine would have been like the most old womanly name that you could have taken as opposed to Kate. But anyway, we'll bypass that. What was it that made you want to seem older?
Yeah, if I just honestly didn't feel like I fit in at school. I've been a bit of an old soul and I had to grow up quickly because of some things that happened when I was younger. And for that reason, I think I've always related to older people. Like all my friendship groups, they tend to be older than me. And I guess also there's a lot of freedom that comes with a certain age, right? And so I wanted that freedom. I didn't want to be told what to do. I was a bit of a rebel, you know, rule breaker, did things a little bit differently. But I guess like that fitting in thing for me is actually quite apparent at school. I felt a little bit lost, didn't really feel like I fit in. And this is actually something that I talk about quite a lot, is that fitting in, that identity. Because it's funny, isn't it, really? At school, I don't know about you, but I just did everything that I could to try and fit in. Mm. Like, and I actually ended up being a bit of a chameleon and changing myself and my personality and things because I felt like that's what people wanted from me. And now we know, don't we, that people pleasers, nobody likes a people pleaser, do they? So I don't know, there's no wonder why actually at school I didn't really have that gravitas with people. I really did struggle with building relationships and friendships because of that reason, because I really didn't know who I was. I was super lost and confused. And actually now this is what I talk about. It's like the difference between being at school and being at work. When we're at school, we just want to fit in. And when we're at work, we do everything we can to try and stand out. Like, what's our unique selling point? How am I, what's my point of difference? And so this is it. I think this whole journey is really all about us as individuals, finding out who we are and what value do we really have to share and give back to the world.
So when you help people that you coach find their uniqueness, their value, their essence, how do you take them on that journey? Someone comes to you fresh off the boat and they're like, I want to find my voice. What's the step-by-step guide that you take them through?
Yeah, so I think first of all, I'm really objective driven. So understanding like for what purpose they want to do that is really important, so that we're aiming in that direction. And then first things that first is going through the narrative, of course. It's like Steve Jobs said, right? You got to go back before you got to go forwards, and you got to go and connect the dots. So that's exactly what we do. We spend, and it is hours, that first session is longer than the most, and we go through your story. What is your story? What's happened? What's your perspective on things? And start to really connect those dots. Then I think I do things differently from other speaking coaches.
You mean you stand out?
Exactly right. And the reason is because I actually don't teach people to speak. I'm a speaking coach who doesn't teach people how to speak. What I do is help people to reconnect with who they really are. Because what I've found is that the two go hand in hand. So yes, as I've been on my speaking journey, I've also really been on my self-healing journey. And ultimately, the biggest question I get asked is, what does it take to become a really good speaker? And it is knowing self. It's knowing who you are, so that when you are up there speaking on whatever platform, it doesn't matter what chaos is going on around you, as long as you know who you are and you're staying true to yourself and being authentic, that's what really matters. And then you can start being playful, right? So then if you know who you are, then you can start being really dynamic. And that's what makes a really great speaker on stage. If you're able to be playful, if you know you don't need slides, or you can jump around with visual aids, you don't need to be like a one track wonder. You can actually, you know, be creative. And that is when you take things to the next level. So the process, going back to your question, is really getting to understand that. And first, we have to overcome our limitations and what prevents us in becoming that. So the journey that I've been on, I've been through therapy since I was 11 years old. And I think I've pretty much done it all. And however, the one thing that really helped me in my journey was NLP and hypnosis. So that was actually, it's like, you know, when you've got a cut, and, you know, I feel like I was just putting a plaster over that infected cut. I wasn't really properly healing. And so actually I was like, how do I dig the grit out? How do I go and properly, like, I want this to properly heal.
Don't become a doctor.
And this is it. This is how I properly feel like I've healed, is through NLP and hypnosis. So then I became a practitioner myself, because ultimately what I was doing is going through people's narratives. Great material that was coming up, but loads of trauma, loads of fear and negative emotions and limiting beliefs and these things I just didn't know what to do with. So yeah, I was packaging up great stories, but I was not able to help them beyond that. So enabling me to go deeper was actually becoming a practitioner myself. So this is what we do. We heal. Then we start to, like I said, we've got five core negative emotions: anger, sadness, fear, hurt, and guilt. So we address those. Of course, like, fear is the number one that I work with, because people come with that fear of speaking. However, it's never normally the fear of speaking, right? When we get underneath that, it's actually judgment. It's, oh, what would they think of me? What if they play the what if game? What if I don't sound like an expert, or if I say something silly, or if I trip over on the stage, or if I... right? So it's that fear of not actually being loved, being liked by others. And that fear of not being loved is not feeling enough. So this is what we really go and address, is go and actually then, once we've cleared those negative emotions, we look at limiting beliefs. Oh, I'm just not good at this. If you're telling yourself you're not good at something, right, then you're probably not going to be good at it. So we have to reprogram the way that we communicate with ourselves. That's the number one most important form of communication, is the narrative that goes on up here.
Wow.
Right? Okay. So yeah, this is the part, I'm getting into the journey, but there you go. Obviously, that's it. The first part of the process.
That's the first session. Wow. Someone's just shell-shocked after that session. Okay, so we've got, the more we know ourselves, the stronger we can communicate our truth.
That's right.
That includes a lot of healing, a lot of discovery, a lot of going back in order to go forward, or looking back to look forward.
Exactly.
So then if we take myself as a case study,
go on.
I've also done therapy, nowhere near as much as you have. So like that baffles me. Huge respect. I lost my dad when I was very young.
Okay.
And my relationship with my dad was always quite distant. He was like very disciplined. He was in the army. He was like stiff upper lip, do as you're told, that sort of thing. And I lost him when I was 9. And so my feeling of not enoughness, I feel, which is not really overbearing, like I feel confident communicating my truth, but nonetheless there are still odd moments where I can see this cloud coming over. That's to do what I think is like not enough. The question I've asked myself before is like, not enough to who? Right? And that's, I've sort of viewed it as not enough to him. When someone has had that clarity, or had that realization, identified the problem, or identify that they have this feeling of not enoughness, what's the next step?
Even if they don't come to the conclusion of it being not enough, right? But just having that realization that there is something that's limiting you in the first place, that there is something there that you need to step beyond and process and go through to, and actually it's that ownership that, like, actually, you know, yeah, something's there that's stepping in my way. And that's what happened for me, was I recognized there's never one thing as well. Usually there's always a combination of things, because that's it. We're multifaceted humans. There's lots of, you know, you are, you know, a facet of all the experiences, people, everything that's happened to you up until now. So I'm sure that, yes, your father, of course, I'm sorry to hear that, would have definitely had a massive impact on you. There will potentially be other things as well. And I think just recognizing that and saying, look, like, what I'm getting in life right now, is that really what I want? Is that, am I getting my desires? Am I really, like, you know, truly living in fulfillment? And if not, then what's preventing you? And for me, it was communication. I just saw that everything, whether that was personal or business, you know, not being able to speak up properly and share my ideas in a really constructive way, not being able to hold the intention of a room and have them fully engaged and bought into my ideas and bring them along on my journey, or with my relationships as well, not being able to express how I truly felt, not being able to influence them to do the washing up more, you know, whatever that might be. I recognized it was communication. And then when I looked at all of, you know, the best leaders, men and women, that there are out there in business that I aspire to be like, it's communication. They're all fantastic communicators. And ultimately, communication is at the bedrock of society. It really is. So getting that right, if you can get that right, you are going to be successful. So this is why, first of all, was that ownership And that's my tagline, is just own it. It's that ownership, right? I need some help. This is not working for me. And actually then it's about the taking action and doing something about it. So I think if anybody comes to me and they firstly acknowledge that there is something that they want to change, I think that's the most important thing. I'm not out there to go and help people, you know, make that decision for themselves. The people that I work with already recognize that. They want to take that ownership for themselves. And then, yeah, then we can obviously start to delve into that process. And we don't ever go into the emotion or anything like that. We use techniques where you don't have to do that. What we do though is heal by using our language and observations and things like this.
Can you give me an example of a technique?
Oh, have you ever heard of timeline therapy?
No.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Okay, so timeline therapy, I won't go into it. However, it is moving on our timeline. And the idea is that we go back into the very first instant that happened that caused the chain effect. So for example, let's take fear. So I'm scared of speaking. Why? We use our unconscious minds to actually take us back to that very first moment where something, when we are, it can be perhaps in our imprint years, 0 to 7, maybe something happened, like you were at nursery and, I don't know, the teacher told you to shut up. And that's scary. Oh, I was just trying to speak and express myself. And, you know, and now I feel scared to speak. So you've got that correlation between speaking and fear. And then what happens is you go on in life and something else might happen. That, again, you get that correlation between speaking and fear. And this is what we call the gestalt. And then nodular gestalt, basically things that happen on our timeline. And we start to pick up on these patterns that happen and we start to then create a belief around this, right? That speaking is scary. And that's what we have to go and do. We have to go and heal and look and observe that very first instance to actually get perspective on it, because you were only, you know, you might have only been 4 or 5 years old. So actually we go and take the learnings from that, the positive learnings, to go and heal that instance. And what that does is helps us let go and release the gestalt so we can actually, you know, no longer feel like speaking is scary. Does that make sense?
Complete sense.
Good. Beautiful. I'll have to show you one day.
Mm. This is all like in a hypnosis state. You're like, you getting someone into tapping into their subconscious and then you're asking them to look back into the past. Is that right?
That's what we have to work with, the subconscious, because ultimately, like if I was to ask you now, when's the first instance, and you're in your conscious mind, you'd be like, oh, I have no idea. Yeah. So that's what we have to. So ultimately that is, so yeah, a really relaxed state. And then when we bring in, so we talk about hypnosis, it's not necessarily like, look into my eyes, look into, you know, not like that.
Give me your money.
Yeah. It's more like hypnotic language to help us relax. That's ultimately what it is, because we can't access our unconscious without us being truly, fully relaxed and in that flow state.
Okay, wow. Mm. That's amazing. So then that helps people identify these points in the past. They then just own it. What's the other step in the process in order for them to own it?
Yes. So like once we've done all the clearing, right? Yeah. So we use NLP and hypnosis to do all the clearing, the healing, to get their vibrations up so that they are now, you know, feeling good about themselves. They don't have all those limitations. So then it gets exciting, right? So then it's like, right, well, what does bear look like? What does that mean for you? And that's where we start to have an exploration into that essence. I talk about it as an essence of you, because ultimately that's what it is. I say, like, if you were a perfume, like, what would you smell like? And, like, can we get you to, like, spray that all over your body?
Very sweaty.
So that when you're walking down the street, people go, have you ever been, oh, what perfume are you wearing? Mm. That smells amazing. And you just know that it's just you. That's just me. right? That's where we want to get you to. And so that when you go up on that stage, you are so just authentically, beautifully yourself that people are like, wow, different to me or so like me, I can resonate. But in each sense, you can really appreciate that speaker for who they are and that they're just being their true, authentic self. And we really can sense it, can't we? Like, you know when someone's having you on or they don't truly believe in what they're saying. Like, they tried to sell you something but they don't quite believe it. Where actually, if somebody genuinely like, yeah, you know, I love this and like, we vibrate differently. Mm. And that's ultimately it. So not just about how do you express yourself authentically, but what is that authenticity? So we get to know that golden thread, that thing for somebody through their narrative that is uniquely them, that makes them different, that makes them stand out. And ultimately, the process of that is finding out like, yeah, what's that thing that really fills your cup, that makes you, your heart sing, that has that fire in your belly when you talk about it. And for me, it just undoubtedly is about communication and speaking and helping raise the voices of others. And when I talk about it, people are like, wow, God, you're so passionate about that. And I am, and this is it. But we've all got that. It's just finding what that is for us.
And then once you've found that golden thread, then it's about crafting that story.
Exactly, yeah. Which is a massive part of it, right? So these days, I mean, have you heard a bad story?
Yeah,
yeah, right? They're not fun. You're like,
I've told a bad story, that's for sure. Yeah.
You start clock watching, you start, you know, oh. And like, hearing bad speakers, hearing bad stories, neither is useful, neither is effective. So we have to look at both aspects. You as a speaker, and being able to express yourself authentically, but then what is that story and how do we then package that up as well into a really compelling way that's going to grab the attention of your audience these days? Well, I mean, we live in the attention economy, they call it, don't they? Mm. So how do we really win the attention of our audience? And then how do we maintain it as well? Do you know how long it takes for somebody to decide whether they're going to listen to you or not?
I've watched all of your content, so I know exactly how long it takes. But why don't you tell them?
Working for YouTube, right? The reason why the skip button is where it is at 6 seconds, because that first 5 seconds are critical. That's how long it takes somebody to decide, am I going to go and write an email or look at my phone or make a cup of tea, or am I going to listen to you and your story? So that's it. How do we grab their attention? How do we sustain that? And then actually influence them to do or think or be different. And this is it, is speaking is powerful. Like, we have the chance to change someone's life, to shift paradigms when we speak. And that's it. It's like, but how do we get them to do that? How do we really get them to come away from listening to us going, oh, do you know what? Actually, I am going to do something a bit different after that. Yeah, I'm going to. And that's it. So packaging your story up and then being able to express it in the right way. They're the two elements.
So then, given that we're speaking to founders,
mm.
and there is storytelling for the individual and there's storytelling for the business as well. And so I would love to go deep on how we craft this really compelling, impactful, paradigm-shifting story. Is there a breakdown that you have to help someone craft a better story?
Well, I want to challenge you on what you just said, firstly.
Oh, please.
Yes. Because, love like, that. Is there a difference between crafting a story for a business and crafting a story for a person and the individual? Like, what I talk about is actually, ultimately, they're the same. We were just talking about this before, weren't we, that I've been on my journey of, you know, crafting my own brand, and it's an expression of me. And ultimately, that's what brands are. They are an expression of an individual or a group of individuals that have collectively come together. Perhaps it is a product or a service, yes, and an expression of that. But ultimately, it's those individuals as well. And don't forget that we are all humans. We're all emotive beings. And that's one part of, really important part of crafting your narrative is it's about connection. How do we connect with our audience? And reminding ourselves that, yes, we're individuals and our audience are also individuals. We're all humans. And so it is creating that resonance. How do we then get somebody to go, oh my gosh, yeah, you're just like me. You get me. I feel seen and heard. And ultimately, that is what we're all looking for, is to feel seen and heard. So that's what I talk about, is how do we land that resonance really early doors? And we can do that in many different ways and techniques, but ultimately, telling stories, painting that real life scenario for somebody where somebody goes, oh, yeah, that's happened to me. Oh gosh, yeah. Oh. And pain to pleasure, that transformation is another thing that we need to address in that story. It's like, you know, speaking was my number one fear. It's why I'm here today. It's because when I was little, I was super dyslexic, really shy and introverted, and like brought up in a family where we didn't really communicate very well at all. There's lots of shouting, but not so much communicating.
That's just like communication squared, isn't it? That's why
I'm just on a louder version. Yeah. And that's it. And when I start telling my story on stage, mostly after what people come up to me and say is, I'm dyslexic too, or oh, I'm an introverted extrovert, because they get that resonance, that's what they connect with, because they feel like, oh, okay, we're the same here. And then I talk about the struggles that I've been through, you know, the fact that, you know, growing up was not easy. We've talked a little bit about this already, forming those relationships. When I went into the working world, you know, putting up my hand, should I say that? If I say that, am I going to sound stupid? And not putting up my hand because of that fear that I held on to. And people are like, oh God, yeah, I've done that. Wanting to win an audience, but not being truly believed, or not, you know, not getting the sales you want because you're not truly believable or cutting through with your narrative. And it's it. We've all had these experiences. The more that we can demonstrate them and paint them through being vulnerable and telling our own stories, the more resonance we're going to connect with our audience. Yeah, so resonance is really important. Historically, though, we know this like story arc, don't we? Where we like build up to a kind of climax, and then we kind of come to some sort of resolution at the end, and that is outdated. So at YouTube we talk about this a lot, about actually get rid of that old story arc and actually now start high impact. So that's it. We want to grab people's attention, don't we? So how do we actually, and this is what I feel like is again one of my unique skills, I'm quite a good story architect. I can grab people's bits of stories and go, oh yeah, like let's put that first to win their attention. That's going to be great. So how do we start with a bang? And so people are like, oh yeah, what's going on here? And that's what we talk about, is attention. That's the ABCDs are YouTube's core best practices. And the first one is A for attention. So how do we jump into the attention? How do we get people to feel like they're missing out on something? If I don't watch the rest of this, I'm going to miss out. And then we go into our branding, our connection, and our direction. But let's talk about that winning attention. So first, once we've won the attention, I talked about the next best thing is sustaining it, right? And I think a huge part of sustaining it is this intrigue. So once you've got somebody like, oh yeah, what's going on here? Then you want to sustain that, right? And what we do by doing that is these unexpected shifts. We kind of take them on this narrative, but then give them things that they might not, those like, oh, didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah. Oh, you were here for this, but actually you want to know about this. Yeah. And someone's like, whoa, I didn't know I wanted to know about that as well.
And that's it. And this is why I think series, anybody who's out there that loves a good series, TV series, this is why, because they do that, don't they? They start, grab your attention. They might introduce a few characters. Something happens. Then they leave you on a cliffhanger. And you're like, oh, got to watch the next one. Then you're like 5 hours deep. You should have gone to bed hours ago. And you're like, how am I still watching this? And it's because they're really good at doing that, keeping you intrigued as to what's coming next. And it's open loops. So what they do is they open a loop, and then they kind of drip feed you bits of information, but they don't give you everything at once. Like, don't give all your secrets away at once. Drip feed them. Keep the audience attentive. And it's because people want to close loops. We want a resolution, don't we? We all want to find out what happens in the end. And that's it. So drip feed them information. And then, of course, when you're ready to close off that loop at the end, then finally do. Then give them direction. So that's what we talk about. The D in ABCD's YouTube is all about direction.
Oh, we missed out B and C. You've got attention, we've got their attention. Yes. We know about like keeping the attention, keeping the opening the loops and maybe not quite closing them and planning that architecture. B, branding.
Branding. Let's talk about branding, of course. So knowing your golden thread, right? Knowing what you stand for. So can you land that as well early doors? And that's your introduction. And ironically, what I've worked out is through all of my coaching, like at the end of somebody working with me in a one-to-one coaching session, what they will fundamentally walk away with is, yes, their narrative. And for a speaker that I might work with potentially, we'll craft the like 90 minute, the 60 minute, the keynote speech, whatever. But ultimately, everybody, whether that is a speaker or somebody who's looking to, you know, go and tell their story on social media or whatever platform that is, it's all about that introduction. Because isn't that the hardest thing, to tell your introduction in a clean, concise way where somebody really gets you, a bit about you, what you're about? And that's branding, right? Can you, in a clean, concise, clear way, express your brand so people just get it? So yeah, show your brand if you know it first, and then talk about it up front. It's a really good way to obviously introduce yourself. But also, can you trickle bits of that brand throughout your narrative as well? So there might be different ways. For me, it's just about speaking authentically and sharing my stories. I'll give stories about myself where people there feel like they know a little bit more about me. They're like, okay, yeah, get her a bit more. Right, okay. And at the end, again, I'll talk about my branding again. So how do you work with me? This is either through one-to-one coaching or workshops. And the best way to approach me is to drop me a message through my website. Come and drop me a direct message on social medias as well.
Links in the description.
And also, that's your direction, right? So you're giving people... you're talking about your brand, but you're also giving them some direction. So off the back of this narrative that I've just told you, this is actually what I want you to go and do with this. So again, for myself, a lot of the stories I talk about is like that taking ownership. And the end will be like, take ownership by coming and working with me and doing this for yourself. Let's go and figure out what your brand is. And yeah, let's craft your story.
Very powerful. Attention, grab their attention, open loops, branding, include that golden thread, the connection piece. Is that what you mean by you keep on mentioning more stories which show more parts of yourself?
That is.
And then the direction is sort of like call to action sort of thing.
That's it. Spot on.
Okay.
I did jump around a bit there.
I got it. So it was perfect.
I'll have to get his permission to see if this is all right to use. But okay, actually, amazing. I think using one of my clients as a good example, might be a good way to go about this. So he is a senior director in an IT firm, yeah, who I'd met many years ago, and he came back to me and said, actually, I think you'll be able to help me. I've got a side business, a passive income that I want to, or brand that I want to set up. Can you help me craft the narrative for this? So I'm like, okay, definitely. Let's talk about it. And this is it, isn't it? I always feel like the best stories are the ones where like they come out of nowhere and they're just completely unexpected. And this was one of those. So he's an IT director, but in his spare time, what he loves is holistic plants, right?
What is a holistic plant?
They are plants, all types of different plants, which have properties that are healing properties. So all plants have different healing properties for different reasons. And there are many different ways that they can heal you, whether that's psychological, physiological, whatever. So we went through this whole process of understanding this brand and a part of him and why it is so compelling for him. And again, it was a part of his story. He was brought up on a farm and loved nature and plants and was always at Chelsea Flower Show and all of these different aspects to his story. So he's obviously got a wealth of knowledge about plants, and this is really where it's come from. And he also recognizes that in the industry that he's in, people are working long hours in offices, they are highly stressed And ultimately, he came to realize through his research that actually just having a plant on your desk can increase your productivity by 20%, right? I was like, wow, tell Google this. And they actually, Google are very good at putting plants on people's desks.
He did tell Google this, and now Google's a forest.
Yes. And so this was it. And we started to then delve into, okay, so what does that mean? Like, why is this important though? So why should people really care about this? And fundamentally, it's like, well, on a grand scheme is that technology is almost taken over a little bit in a way right now. We're in a bit of a position where people are losing sight and touch with the outside world because they're so immersed in their computers, in their phones, in their... So actually what he's doing is such a... It's a much bigger mission. It's reconnecting people with nature and how important that is. And then on a local level, why is that really important? Well, because of connection, because of mental health issues, because of, you know... How many people do you know now that are struggling to communicate with one another because lockdown happened? How many people do you know when you go to a restaurant, they're on their phones, they're not speaking to each other because of these things? And actually, like, what getting out in nature can do to actually heal us is amazing, and it can reform those connections and that communication. But what he's doing is doing it the other way around. He's bringing the nature into working environments, or gift giving was another aspect to his business. It was like, you know, now lots of people are not drinking, they're vegetarians, whatever. What do you buy for them as a gift? This is what people think about me now nowadays. They're like, I can't bring a bottle of wine. I can't bring you chocolates. I can't bring... What do I bring?
I've even speaking to my friends. Yes. Have been gifted all of these plants.
Exactly. Then why not go a little bit deeper and actually like think about, okay, so what is my friend going through at the moment? You know, what's meaningful to them? Is it culture? Is it color or whatever? So actually we started talking about these, yeah, Gifted Plants is his brand, and that's kind of where it all came from, is understanding that universal problem, understanding the local problem, understanding then the narrative that fits in, and then using, obviously he's the founder of the company, so he's the spokesperson who's going to be getting up on stages and speaking about this, so really getting his narrative tight was really important as to like, why did you set up this company? What's it here for? And it goes back to Simon Sinek, right? This golden circle of the why, the what, and the how. Yeah. But I go beyond the Simon Sinek because I'm like, yeah, why is nice, but so what? Like, why does that matter to me? Because it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I want to heal the world. Great. So there's lots of people want to heal the world. But why is that important for me? Like, bring it to my table. Make it really relevant for me so that I'm really bought into your mission as well.
When you say, so what for me, as in me the customer.
Right.
Right. The person who is absorbing
the
story.
Yeah.
Got you. Okay. Wow. You also said, tying it back round as well to the first thing we mentioned, you've said in the past that stories can be our medicine. Can you expand on that? What does that mean?
Yeah, they are super powerful, right? And have helped heal me. Like, being truthful, speaking saved my life. There was a point where, honestly, if I had not learned how to find my voice and share my stories of what was going on for me, I wouldn't be here. I really, really would not be here. And that's why I'm so grateful that I found my voice, that I was given the opportunities as well to share my story. In therapy is where, of course, it started, talk therapy, and getting help that way. And now I get to use those stories. Now I've healed myself in those stories. I get to help use those stories to help others. So I am very passionate about mental health. And I was doing a talk and on mental health, and I brought some friends of mine into the audience for like some support. And afterwards, and I spoke about this, right, about like how powerful stories are and how they've helped me and how much of a dark place I was in and that process that I went through, and I got help, and how incredible that journey's been. And at the end of telling, you know, doing this talk and telling those stories, one of my friends came up to me and took me aside, and he said, like, wow. He was like, thank you so much. He was like, I have been in such a dark place, and I really honestly didn't know what was going to happen next. And I was having really dark, serious thoughts. And he said, now that I've heard your story, I'm going to go and get some help. And I was like, whoa, it still gives me goosebumps. I had no idea, by the way, this is one of my friends. And I was like, what? And that stuck with me, because it was like, this is why you're doing what you do. This is why you've got to go out and tell your stories. And ultimately, like, it's not about me going and telling my stories. Like, I'm just a vessel, really. And the important bit is, if I can go out there and authentically share my stories, if it can help just at least one person like that, that's good enough for me. That's what it's about. And the reality is, in the past year and a half, I've lost two of my friends through suicide. And I'm gutted that we just didn't get that opportunity to speak, to that they didn't feel like that they could share their stories. And that's it. This is why I'm on this mission. It's like, let's talk, people. It's, you know, talking is powerful, and you never know. You being vulnerable and sharing your story could literally save someone's life.
What an incredible mission.
Right.
Which also ties into my mission, which is all around helping people better connect.
Mm.
And if you, as you said, like, if you don't know what's going on in someone's life, well, if they haven't found their voice with that challenge, then like, you just don't know, do you?
That's it.
Wow. So I'd love to go a bit further on your mission.
Mm.
Helping people tell their stories. But I know you've spoken a lot about what that actually means. Can you touch on labels for me?
That's it. Ultimately, when I really look at why I'm doing what I do, it's to eradicate labels and judgment, which are ultimately one and the same, right? When we're labeling, we're judging. And because to realize that we are far too complex for any label, we go way beyond that. And yes, labels are useful in some senses. I actually only contain labels when identifying emotions. Then they're really helpful. then I'm like, so what is the emotion that was there? And then giving it a label helps us then work with that, because then I'm able to actually heal that. Other than that, I don't think that that's helpful. Think about when labels are used, really, in like schooling systems, in healthcare, and in workplaces. And why are they used? Because it's cheaper to think of you as one as many. If I was to treat you on an individual basis, it then becomes expensive. But you are expensive and you deserve to be treated on an individual basis, right? So let's go beyond labels and stop judging. And that's not just each other, that's ourselves as well. I would like to eradicate that judgment, because imagine what that life would look like. Can you imagine how beautiful that would be if we just truly accepted one another and ourselves for who we are right now as we show up? And that expectation, I think this is what we fall into the trap of, is this expectation around ourselves and others. Oh, I should be. Who says you should be doing whatever, right? You're perfect right now. You're in the right place. Where you should be is exactly right. So own it. Own your power in your story. And the expectation of others, this is what I've been working on a lot lately, is dropping that. Because ultimately we do. We start to bucket and label, don't we? And have this idea of what that person should be like. And then when they don't meet our expectations, we're shocked and we feel offended. And it's actually like, well, why can't we just accept people as they show up and just love them for who they are? So ultimately, it's a love story that we've just forgotten. We've just forgotten that we are perfect and amazing as we are. And that's ultimately what I do, is bringing people back to that place to just remember how incredible they are, and to them to love themselves truly, deeply, honestly. And yeah, so moving beyond that, those labels and that expectation and that judgment, and doing that by people sharing their stories, by helping them communicate better to themselves and to others so that they do feel seen and heard. And the reason why I resonate so much with this is because growing up, I felt judged. I felt like I wasn't enough for my parents, right? For my also teachers, for my school friends, whatever. And judged as well on the stereotypical what I should be in society. So then a big moment for me is when I came out as being gay. I didn't fit that mold, what people wanted me to fit into, what I looked like. Oh, you don't look gay. It's like, what does that mean? what does that actually mean? So this is it. I have been through all of the labels as well, as I've been on my journey of trying to fit in. At first was, I'll be bi, because that was kind of a bit more accepting. And then I realized, oh, in the gay community, they do not like, lesbians do not like bi, because it's like, you're either in or you're out. And bi is a bit, you know, you're on the fence. What are you? So I was like, okay. So my friends used to ask me, they say, what do we tell people? I said, well, it depends who they are. Like, what if it's a lesbian, tell them I'm a lesbian. If it's a straight guy, tell them I'm bi, because it's more digestible for them. And if it's a gay guy, tell them I'm gay. So, right? And I was, again, being that chameleon for people. But it was also just figuring out what worked for me. And ultimately, I just came to the conclusion that none of them really do. Like, I really just don't like labels. And I just want to be me. Is that okay? Like, can I just be me? And, you know, if I want to date a guy, I mean, I haven't recently, but if I wanted to, is that okay? Or if I want to date a woman or whatever that is, that should surely, as long as I'm happy and healthy, and helping others and loving and kind, they're more important things, surely. So, yes, please, can we move beyond labels and judgment of each other and ourselves? Just truly accept ourselves as we are authentically. Live in our truth. Do the things that light us up, that fill our cup, that make our hearts sing. Because imagine what that life would be like if everybody was doing the thing that they were meant to be doing, their purpose, and really living in their power and their truth. Oh, we'd be living in a completely different world.
This has been amazing. I have loved listening to all of your stories and your mission and your journey. I've got a tough question for you for the end.
Go on. Love a tough question.
I'm going to push the level of vulnerability and authenticity here.
Go on.
Where do you feel you're currently still judging yourself?
Oh, that is a good question. I am still on my journey, massively. And I want to be the best version of myself. So I really am constantly looking at, am I truly being truthful here? Like, let's really, like, cut through the BS. Like, am I really, you know, no ego? Leave your ego out the door. Am I really, truly being as authentic as I can be? And sometimes there are things, situations, you know, things happen. And sometimes I walk out of situations and go, you know, wish I could have just like been a bit more, you know, like this. And actually that in itself is sometimes not constructive. It's just letting go and accepting that like that happened. It's not a failure. It's a learning. And it's fine. I showed up in that way because in that moment, that was right for me. And it and was authentic in a way, right? Because that's where I was at in life. So sometimes I'm a bit hard on myself because I want to be so passionately the best and help and serve. And sometimes I could actually just be a little bit kinder to myself. I could just, you know, look back and go, that's okay, you did a great job. Like, it's okay. And just love myself a little bit more.
Do you mind me pressing you, saying when was the last time you were hard on yourself? You could have been kinder.
Oh, like last night?
On the way here?
So I was getting all teary then, and then I was like, yeah, no, I mean, yes. I am hard on myself, like I am. I think that's the way that I was brought up. As it was like, you know, if we fell over as kids, my mum would walk off. It was like, get up, what are you doing? Don't moan. So I'm grateful for that though, because that's been a driver for me. And as long as I use that in a positive way to keep the momentum and drive, that's good. But it's recognizing, it's the shadow, the light and the dark, right? It's recognizing when that's not helpful. And all you're doing is you're beating yourself up and you actually, it's not a positive state. And that's what I aim to remain in, is a positive state. So yes, ultimately too frequently is perhaps the answer to your question though.
But I massively appreciate you coming and being so honest and sharing so much, much more than I could have ever anticipated. So I really appreciate it. And it's been a beautiful mix of practical and colourful with a mixture of stories and steps. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.